Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is loading. SteveJonesShow.com audio is sponsored by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call them at 800-609-9484 or visit them online at REWfinancial.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show is brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Give Rick a call at 800-609-9484 or you can go online to REWfinancial.com. We're talking about personalized service. He will take good care of you one-to-one. And, of course, we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 to 15, Humbles Wharf. Kevin Herr alongside. Kevin's made some great points on student participation at games. He did so during the show on Tuesday, and then we reiterated some of those points yesterday about student attendance. And one of the great ones was, you know, they talk about Wi-Fi connectivity in the stadium. Most students use their parents' data plan. Kevin's absolutely right about that. So we'll talk about that a little bit this hour. Kevin has your fun fact. Is that what it is?
That's right. I've got two of them.
All right. We'll run the first one. Here we go.
Of course you remember this.
5 seconds left in the game. Do you believe in
But you may not know this. It's an Olympic fun fact with Kevin Herr on the Steve Jones Show.
Team USA's men's.
That's the best part of it. Could you replay that again?
No. Team USA's men's and women's hockey players TJ Oshie and Gigi Martin were king and queen of a winter dance in high school. They're from the same hometown of Warwick, Minnesota, nicknamed Hockey Town USA. 1,700 people, 2 traffic lights, 2 ice rinks. That's your Olympic fun fact number one.
I love that intro. All right. See, a little trailer there, the whole thing. I mean, don't you know, a little bit of production on the show. It sounds good. I like that. Today, Penn State takes on Nebraska here at Pinnacle Bank Arena. First time Penn State's played in this arena. So Patrick Chambers brought them in here last night, and they practiced here last night, then had a shoot-around today, get themselves familiar. Great shooting background here. But it's really interesting, this arena. I wonder what the fire code laws are here, because obviously this was opened in August of last year. The space between the sidelines of the court and where the seats begin is incredibly wide all the way around the perimeter. And you have seats that they have placed up against the court, what we always affectionately refer to as Gucci Row. But the space in between there and where the seats then begin is incredibly wide. The lower bowl's really nice, the way it's done and structured here, very, very nice. And then they have 3 decks above that, one being a luxury suite deck. You have to remember that it's a 15,000-seat arena, and when I'm sitting there tonight, the left end ends at the lower bowl, and then there's a pavilion there, very much like the Barclays Center in Brooklyn. Well, if you're going to have 15,000 seats in a building, and you have literally one end, you're only allowed to use 2/3 of it for your upper decking, you have to put, obviously, many more seats in the other 1/3 of it. In the thirds, so it's different in that regard. But they play well here. They play very well here. They're 11-1. That one loss was a 1-point loss to Michigan. John Calipari and Rick Pitino disagree on social media. Rick Pitino will not allow his team to use social media during the season. Although Russ Smith does Instagram, he says people waste too much time on social media. And he said that he would rather see one-to-one conversation take place. John Calipari, on the other hand, feels that social media, he encourages his players to use social media, he says, because that can increase their brand. He's talking about their brand when they go out there. So that's the difference between the two as to what how Rick Pitino looks at it as to how John Calipari looks at it. So, I mean, right now a big thing is, for example, how many followers do you have on Twitter, correct?
That's big, yeah.
Well, what else is bigger than that?
What, how many followers, how many likes you have on Facebook?
Okay, likes on Facebook, followers on Twitter. And we've talked about this before, how you know you've tried to encourage me to use Twitter at games. Like, for example, if you'd like me to come out tonight, for example, and say Taran Petaway, as an example, say he tweaks a knee in warm-up. You would like me to tweet, Petaway tweaks knee in warm-up, we'll see if he plays, correct?
Yes.
Yes. And that would excite you if I did that. In fact, that would blow you away if I did that.
I might have to pick myself up off the floor if you did that, quite honestly.
But then that defeats, you know, then I pointed out to him, and Kevin understands where I'm coming from here, that then defeats me having a pregame show on the radio, and my job is to be a radio announcer and not a Twitter, somebody who has Twitter a Twitter following. Correct?
Yes. I would also agree with that.
So I put the information, I mean, out on the radio where you hear it on 1070 and discuss it because that's the proper form I think it should be in for us instead of putting it out on Twitter. Now but here's the other part. All right? Is the fact that I'm not putting it out on Twitter. Okay, X player tweaks knee or is in street clothes, not warming up for today's Penn State football game. Other people in the press box see it, and they put it on Twitter. Okay, now has that defeated my radio broadcast?
Yes and no. It depends on how you look at it. I think it actually adds more to it because I think people will be coming then to your pregame that may not have been able to catch the pregame or that may not normally listen to the pregame and just listen to the game itself because you're going to go into details.
Right. Well, here, I mean, for example, I worked with Jim Jackson a couple times on BTN doing basketball. And I remember during the commercial breaks, the 16, 12, 8, and 4 breaks, and at halftime, Jim would be on Twitter, putting a little bit here, a little bit there, while the producer was talking to me about what we're going to be doing next. And I understood that because, you know, you're trying to build an audience, people interested, hey, we've got a great game here. I remember did a game with Minnesota where Westbrook hit a shot in the final play of the game and Minnesota won. And I guess that draws eyeballs to say, hey, you ought to watch this. This is a great game. So maybe you've got people tuning in that weren't tuning in before saying, hey, look, I better pick this up. BC Syracuse would be an example of that last night. You know, Syracuse was a 14-point favorite going into the game. Well, you know, maybe you have a Twitter account, you check on Twitter, and all of a sudden you look, and you're like, oh, holy cow, you're kidding me. You mean BC's winning the game? So maybe that draws more eyeballs to the set. You know, that's responsible use of it. I think we're at the stage where we're getting closer and closer that for many people, Twitter is a way that they find out their news and find out their sports. I can understand why Rick Pitino would ban his players from using it because he's just trying to get control of it and the responsibility of it. At the same time, I also see John Calipari's point that it, you know, that if he's teaching them how to use it properly, it can be a tool to a brand. I don't want to tweet during the game. I would, and here's my reason why. The reason I don't want to tweet during the game is that I need to just concentrate on the job I'm paid to do. So I don't need to stop. I would rather talk to Jack or Dick in commercial breaks about whatever. I don't care if it's the two of us making a joke about something, or whether it's something serious that we need to talk about this, or letting off steam about something, whatever. Then taking to Twitter. So that's one of the reasons I would never do it during a game. But that's a personal reason. I mean, have you ever tweeted during a game, Kev?
Yeah, I'll tweet at the end of quarters during basketball, and I during football sometimes I'll tweet a quarter score out.
Score anything else beyond the score?
Once in a while, but there's usually not enough time. But once in a while, if there's something outstanding, I'll make mention of it. And I'll tell you why I do it. I've had a lot of people come up to me and saying, hey, you know, I was working or I was out doing this and I couldn't listen to the game. It was nice to see the score update following you on Twitter.
Right. Right. And I understand that. It's just, I just would rather dial in on what I'm doing in front of me at the moment. And it's not a question I can't multitask. I think you know darn well I can multitask. Like,
it's scary, actually.
That's how I multitask. but I think when I get into doing that, I just kind of rather just dial in on doing that. And I think for me personally, and it doesn't matter, for other people it's fine. For me personally, it allows me to dial in on the matter at hand, which I'd rather do. It also makes my life easier. I don't have to do it. So I think I make my life difficult enough, don't you think?
No comment.
Brutal. Brutal. But, I mean, and I think that's one of the, you know, I think one of the reasons, social media, I think it's one of the reasons NBC's taking a different approach to the Olympics. Even on the Today Show now, for the first time ever on the Today Show, they're telling you who won. Yesterday, they opened up by telling you that Ted Ligety won the gold medal. Well, they figured, like, we might as well tell you since you're going to go online or check Twitter and it's going to be there for you. So I think they gave up the ghost. And I think, and that's fine. I think that what we're seeing is going to be a pattern where more and more people are going to get their news on Twitter, which is great for giving you a headline, but Twitter gives you no substance at all. And it doesn't give you context at all. And that's when you're only allowed 140 characters, how much context can you get? We can't just be a headline world. We need to be a context world, okay, where, you know, something is put out there and then you explain it. I think it's an interesting debate between the two. I see the pros and cons on each side of it. I see exactly what Rick Pitino's talking about, that talking one-on-one, socialization, and so forth. I mean, that's what Kevin and I do here with you 2 hours a day, 10 hours a week. You know, and we kid each other, we rib each other. We, you know, there's a little inflection in when we speak to each other, you know, where he knows darn well, you know, that we're kidding around. Okay, then there's times where we get serious about topics and so forth, you know, and so we can tell that. If we were to use the exact same words that we use on this show in a Twitter account, how bad would it look, Kev?
No, wait, say that again. How bad would it look if we went on a Twitter account?
Okay, if we use the exact same words that you and I use sometimes on this, because how many times are you and I just kidding around about something, you know, like a little, you know, little jab here by you at me or a little jab by me at you there, just as part of the show, the entertainment part of the show, we're just having fun talking to each other and just like a little jab here, a little, oh yeah, you know, you love the Olympics, oh yeah.
on and off the air, if you don't know the context of some of that, it could look really bad.
Right. Right, but if it just came out in a black and white Twitter account, how bad would it look?
That's what I'm saying. Without the context, it could be bad.
Yeah, Yeah. Yeah, without context or voice inflection, you'd be like, boy, these two guys are like, and we're like, these two guys are like, just, they go out of the, unbelievable, right? And we're the best of friends.
Most of the time. Anyway.
Right? This is our, but this is our third year doing this. Okay, how many times have you and I have a crossword between us?
We've known each other for 10 years, and we've been this way ever since, since year one.
Zero. There isn't one moment the two of us have ever had a crossword with each other. Zero. Zero. Although one day, about a month ago, I did play a trick on him. A little practical joke about something I did. And you went to, you were like, ah.
I did for a minute crawl into a ball, yes, and rock back and forth.
And I couldn't hold it any longer, and I started laughing, and he says, you jerk. But that's the way we are, okay? And so we've never had, like, one time, zero, 10 years, not one crossword between us. We may disagree on stuff, but guess what? It's part of the show. You don't want a show where everybody's in agreement. That's fine, but we know it's the show. But that would not be into black and white format. That's why, this is still important in terms of hearing how people think and feel about things instead of in a black and white format. There's context, something behind it. All right. We'll come back with more in a moment. I'm going to talk a little bit about student attendance. This is one of those areas where students are behind the benches here. That's more of a trend that we're seeing in college basketball today, and also attendance in football stadiums. Student no-show rates are ranging anywhere from 18 to 48% across the country. And Tony Knott, by the way, is a very good friend of Darren Revelle. And Kevin, he's told me that he's going to hook us up, and we're going to get Darren on the show.
That's great. I look forward to that one.
Article that he wrote. Yeah, that should be very, very, very insightful, I believe, because he's put a lot of research into it. Today's show brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Give Rick a call at 800-609-9484, or you can go online to rewfinancial.com here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Sunbury Motors Hyundai is going to save you
big money at the pump
and big money at your bank with huge discounts and great gas mileage on all new Hyundais. Sunbury Motors Hyundai has 31 brand new Hyundai Elantras discounted $2,700. Elantras start at $15,677 and gets 38 miles per gallon. Does anyone want to save $6,120? Sunbury Motors Hyundai is discounting all 2013 Sonata Hybrids $6,120 off MSRP. Sonata start at $19,694. If your current vehicle gets 20 miles per gallon and you trade it in on a 40 mpg Sonata hybrid, you'd save $110 per month on gas. Who doesn't want to save $110 per month and $6,120 off the sticker price of a brand new Sonata hybrid? If you want to have a fun day, you have to drive a Hyundai. From Sunbury Motors Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, or at sunburymotors.com.
Gas mileage savings based on 15,000 miles per year and $3.55 per gallon.
REW Financial believes in the value of total commitment. We are a working family who strives to prove strength of character by staying independent and core focused. REW has a commitment to the community and the financial needs of our clients. Let us design your portfolio or retirement strategy. REW Financial Lewisburg, the power of freedom. Securities and advisory services offered through United Planners Financial Services. Member FINRA, SIPC. REW Financial is a DBA of REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC, and neither are affiliated with United Planners Financial Services.
All right, today's show being brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Give Rick a call at 800-609-9484, or you can go online to rewfinancial.com. Sunbury Motor Studio Mobile in Lincoln, Nebraska today, where someone a couple hundred years ago said, stop the wagon train here. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. Sarah Bartlett, bottom of the hour news. Then Kevin and I will come back, talk about no shows at games here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Mm-hmm.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And today's show brought to you by Rick Weibel and REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Give Rick a call at 800-609-9484. You can go online to rewfinancial.com. Rick takes care of each individual client with great care, because they know you've worked hard for your money. And also, we're the Sunbury Motor Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, key routes 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf. One thing that's interesting that you will see tonight in watching the Penn State game in Nebraska, and this is not an uncommon trend in other places, but and we'll talk about that in a moment. When you watch Duke, North Carolina tonight, it'll be at the Dean Dome. When they play at Cameron Indoor, which will be, I think, the end of next week or the week after, you'll see, of course, the great shot of the Duke students at Cameron Indoor jumping up and down all the time, and they shoot from behind the benches. And that's how they shoot at Penn State. A couple of years ago, they took the camera positions, and the wells are the same on each side of the Jordan Center. The Jordan Center actually is in great shape to be a versatile arena in that regard for television. They took and they flipped the camera location around so that you could see the student body, Nittany Nation. And that's what you see on TV as you watch the game. A lot of schools are now taking the students and putting them behind the benches. And thus, as you shoot into the bench, you also see the student body. Ohio State does this. Now, the entire bottom, the U zone's around the entire bottom anyway, so it doesn't really matter which way you shoot that. But, you know, but the Michigan State students are behind the benches there, too, as well as other areas. It's a huge student section. Nebraska, you'll see tonight. Where are the students? They're behind the benches. Let's see. I mentioned Ohio State, Michigan State. Let's see. Who else would have students behind the bench? Michigan does. Michigan has the students behind the benches. Any place else? I mean, that's four of them right there. That's becoming more and more of a trend where you shoot into the bench, which is what, believe me, that is actually what the TV people want. They want, by the way, to shoot into the bench because it's easier for them to pick up the reactions on the sidelines, the coaches, things like that. It's much easier for them to do that. It's also easier because, take, for example, the Jordan Center. TV people, when they look at the monitor, the picture's flipped from what they're actually watching. So that part is taken into account. And what they're trying to showcase there is not only the bench, the coach, but they're trying to showcase the student atmosphere in there. That's why you're seeing more and more when you see students behind the bench. It's also more entertaining for the coaches as they deal with it during the course of the game. But student attendance at Ohio State was good. Not great. Michigan State was great. It always is. Michigan was good when we were there, but it was also term break when we went there. And Nebraska tonight, we expected also to be really good because this building's been selling out. It's a brand new building. People love that. They're playing well. People love that. It's the greatest marketing tool in the world. Getting students in the games is something where Darren Revelle wrote that article, and student sections, with all due respect to great fans who buy tickets, are passionate about the team and so forth, it's still the students that make the atmosphere in the stadium or the arena and take it from a 7 to a 10 just by their passion. Students can do that. I mean, adult fans are great, incredible. They pay the money. They're a big reason for success as to what happens. But the student sections are, you know, provide the juice in an arena because they're constantly going during the course of a game. It's amazing how you get older. You just can't do that anymore. You have to pick your spots. But how do you get the students into the game and wanting to show up at games? And one of the keys is start times. But here's what, evidently for whatever reason, here in 2014, Kev, a lot of people don't understand that it is not the choice of the school as to a start time. I was reading some stuff today, and people are saying, hey, you know, 1:30 start times were the greatest. They're always awesome, incredible, the whole thing. And, you know, they're just going to have to understand that that's what works. No, that's not how it works in 2014. You have a television contract. You are now a television show. So if Penn State plays at Michigan State and you're told to play at 9 o'clock on a Thursday night, you play at 9 o'clock on a Thursday night. There's a TV contract. If you go to Nebraska and they tell you you have to play at 7 o'clock on a Thursday night, you play at 7 o'clock on a Thursday night. Last year when we came in here, the game was at 9 o'clock on a Saturday night. Football, same thing. Okay, noon kickoffs. People complain about noon kickoffs. You do not have a choice. You do not sit there and argue with the TV network about, well, I'm sorry, we're just going to kick off at 1:30. No, you're not. Okay? There's a contract that says, and you're part of a conference contract that says this is what time you're going to play. Those who pine for the days of the 1:30 kickoff, I understand that completely because you are absolutely right about that being a great start time. It is. Except it's never going to happen again. And the reason it's never going to happen again is you're talking about a bygone era where of the 11 games you played in the regular season, one, maybe two were on TV, the other 9 or 10 were not. Thus, you can pick whatever start time you want if you're not on television. But the second you go to television, which Penn State, of course, you have a Big Ten contract to be on television, whether it's ESPN, ESPN2, CBS, or for football, it can be ESPN, ESPN2, ABC, or obviously the Big Ten Network for both. So you are now locked in as a television show. That means somebody has to be playing noon kickoffs. Research is showing over and over again that late afternoon kickoffs or tip-offs and evening kickoffs are the ones where fans go to. People, and Kev, you made a great point the other day that a lot of people love to go to the game, tailgate before the game, but when the game's over, instead of staying and tailgating longer, they like to, you know what, we ought to head home.
Well, and that's especially, I think, the case. I think that's especially the case with the later in the season games when the time changes, and basically by the time you walk out of the stadium, it's too dark to tailgate, and you don't want to pull out a generator to put your lights on.
Right. It's cold. It's cold, without a doubt. And I think that when you, the late kickoffs, and I'm talking 3:30, occasionally 4:30, 6, and of course the 7:30 or 8 o'clock kickoffs, people, I mean, that's tough on staff. It's tough on traffic. You know, because take Penn State, for example. Regardless of the kickoff, the parking lot's open at 8 o'clock. Well, I mean, even if the game's a night game, that means all that personnel has to be on hand, and now the day becomes exponentially long for them. So there are a lot of factors that enter into this that are just beyond that. But if you're just looking at basic market research shows you, especially when it comes to student attendance, the later the kickoff or tip-off, the more people show up. You know, Penn State at home for basketball, if you tell them it's a 9 o'clock tip-off, the students come out in droves. We see it all the time. You tell them it's noon, good luck. Kickoff, Jack and I will glance over to our right, and we'll see they're still loading up the student section near the end of the first quarter. has nothing to do with the, the process goes. It has to do with when the students are showing up. 3:30 game, they're pretty much loaded up, and or if it's an 8 o'clock game, they are loaded up and ready to go. And appears to be a finely tuned crowd as well.
That's only the West Virginia crowd on night games.
Oh, well, I'll tell you, you know, Kev, I've done a lot of night games. I don't care whether I've gone to Iowa or I've gone to Ohio State or wherever. The late game kickoffs, it's a finely tuned crowd.
Well, I've heard from folks at West Virginia that that's the main reason why they don't have many night games at West Virginia.
Well, I don't doubt that. But I think they need to put, there needs to be, well, for one, okay, why do schools need to care about student attendance? Two reasons. One is short term, one is long term. Short term is the atmosphere that the, and the juice that they provide within the arena or the stadium. Okay, that's short term. Now long term. These are your consumers in 2024, 2034, and 2044 that you want buying tickets in your stadium. So to get them hooked into the stadium experience at a young age, you're hoping also bears fruit 10, 20, and 30 years from now, especially when they start making money in their lives and still have an affinity and a passion for the school and for the sport or sports. Too often, sports teams, professionally or in college, look at the short-term result and don't think as often about long-term results. And I think you need to now combine short-term, how do I get them into the stadium, but also put together ticket plans down the road that could give you a long-term result. And I think you need to have both kind of plans in place that short-term gets students excited and interested to be in your stadium and an incentive to be there as often as possible, or your arena. And at the same time, once they get out of school, put together ticket plans and packages that open the door to make it easier for them early in life and postgraduate to get tickets and still be a part of the stadium experience with the idea of then moving up and then eventually being the ones that want to be between the 20s and donating money and a part of the experience, or maybe buying a club seat or a luxury suite in 20, 24, 34, 44, whatever. It's not easy to do, but you have to have foresight, I think, in this area that short-term takes care of a no-show problem among students while also putting together long-range plans that then keep them engaged at different levels of their life once they leave. Not easy. That's why it's easier just to announce the games. We'll come back with more in a moment. Today's show being brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Give Rick a call at 800-609-9484. Sunbury Motors Studio, Mobile in Lincoln, where somebody 200 years ago said, stop the wagon train here. Interesting. On News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Sunbury Motors Hyundai is going to save you
big money at the pump
and big money at your bank
with huge discounts and great gas mileage
on all new Hyundais.
Sunbury Motors Hyundai has 31 brand new Hyundai Elantras discounted $2,700. Elantras start at $15,677 and gets 38 miles per gallon. Does anyone want to save $6,120? Sunbury Motors Hyundai is discounting all 2013 Sonata Hybrids $6,120 off MSRP. Sonata start at $19,694. If your current vehicle gets 20 miles per gallon and you trade it in on a 40 mpg Sonata hybrid, you'd save $110 per month on gas. Who doesn't want to save $110 per month and $6,120 off the sticker price of a brand new Sonata hybrid? If you want to have a fun day, you have to drive a Hyundai. From Sunbury Motors Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, or at sunburymotors.com.
Gas mileage savings based on 15,000 miles per year and $355 per gallon.
REW Financial believes in the value of total commitment. We are a working family who strives to prove strength of character by staying independent and core focused. REW has a commitment to the community and the financial needs of our clients. Let us design your portfolio or retirement strategy. REW Financial Lewisburg, the power of freedom. Securities and advisory services offered through United Planners Financial Services. Member FINRA, SIPC. REW Financial is a DBA of REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC, and neither are affiliated with United Planners Financial Services.
Of course you remember this.
5 seconds left in the game. You believe in miracles? Yes!
But you may not know this. It's an Olympic fun fact with Kevin Herr on The Steve Jones Show.
Only one athlete has won gold in both winter and summer games. That was Eddie Egan, a boxing gold in the 20s, 1920 to be specific, and the four-man bobsled in 1932. But now five athletes have won medals in both winter and summer games, with Lauren Williams winning the silver in the 100 in Athens, the gold in the 4x100 in London, and a silver last night in women's bobsled. And that is another Olympic fun fact.
Stole that from Bob Costas. I saw that last night. All right.
I already knew it. Costas stole it from me.
If that's your story, stick to it.
That's right. What I'm sticking to.
Okay. Kevin Hertzler, by the way, posted on the timeline, I almost exclusively use Twitter as my way to be updated with anything sports or Penn State related. I do not tweet the information I receive from Twitter. It's usually, though, accurate and beneficial to me. That's his, you know, his post as to Twitter, which we talked about earlier.
I think you have to consider the source a lot of times, on especially on the Twitter accounts. And you know what? There's a lot of fake Twitter accounts out there, so be careful.
Kevin Hurt's Twitter accounts?
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of people faking those accounts.
Is it real? Or is there somebody in Milton saying, I'm Kevin Hur?
There's a couple of those Bob Costas accounts out. I don't think Bob Costas has a Twitter account. I know his eye does, but I don't think Bob does.
Oh, jeez. Oh, my goodness.
Al Troutwig, though, he's been funny on his Twitter account from Sochi. I'll say that.
Yeah. Well, you know, he's a great personality, for one thing, Al Troutwig. Always has been. I remember when he was the guy between the benches in the NHL when USA Network had the NHL contract, and he was always clever and innovative and did things a little differently that I think made an NHL game more entertaining, especially from a guy that's the third wheel on the broadcast. So he's always had that kind of personality, and I don't doubt that he has himself a nice solid Twitter following.
By the way, speaking of being inside the glass, how did it go the other night, being your version of Pierre at State College?
It's fine. You know, it's fine. I mean, everybody did what they were supposed to do when they were supposed to do it, and I chipped in what I was supposed to do, and, it's different when you're not the play-by-play guy. But, the hockey people always treat me great over there. All right, tomorrow more of this.